the world's economies run on their supply chains. Understanding them is the key to keeping global products moving. Welcome to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane, a series of business podcasts co-produced by the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. In this initial series of episodes, we explore the current state of logistics. Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is sponsored by HERE Technologies. Accelerate your business with spatial intelligence. Today's episode focuses on the parcel industry. Here is your moderator, Supply Chain Quarterly's managing editor, Diane Rand.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Our guest today is Jack M. Puja, current president of consulting firm Supply Chain Optimizers and executive in residence at Niagara University. Jack, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Diane.
We have seen explosive growth in the parcel sector in the past 2 years. Do you expect to see the same rate of growth in 2022, or will it ease back a bit?
Probably the latter, that we had a banner year in retail in 2021, and it really doesn't matter the venue, but retail went whole hog, had a great year. Food service, not so much, because people didn't go to restaurants. They stayed at home, ordered all kinds of things online. So the online growth, depending on the particular service that you look at or use for a reference, maybe 15 to 20% growth in e-commerce, it won't grow to that extent. We're not going to fall back, but the growth will moderate in 2022.
What should shippers expect to see in terms of rate increases and surcharges?
Unfortunately, everyone on the transportation provider side tells me that this is a great time to be a transportation service provider because they've got a lot of pricing capability, which is bad news for the shippers. And certainly the parcel shippers are on the forefront because the two big guys, FedEx and UPS, control the market. They're issuing very, very strong financial reports. UPS just reported, I believe it was about a 14% profit margin. It's the highest profit margin they've reported in almost 20 years. So that is going to continue. I don't see any relief coming down the pipeline that prices are going to continue to be very, very focused by these carriers, that they're really intent on improving their bottom lines.
Got it. And so are there any actions that shippers might be able to take to mitigate the effects of those increases?
Well, I think it's generally a mismatch for most companies because the big parcel providers, they will be bigger than most of the companies who they're talking to. So there's already a mismatch. Unless you're a Walmart or an Amazon, you're a typical regional company. You don't have the kind of horsepower those carriers have. So it's a mismatch in terms of size. And the best thing is preparation. Know your own situation, know your costs, know what you're capable of, and try to work with them. They're not there to hurt anyone, but you have got to try to be more efficient as a shipper. That's number one. Number two, if you're a small guy, look to partner with somebody who's got more volume, whether it's some type of a freight consortium or a logistics company or something like that. If you're shipping $1 million on your own and you can link in with somebody who's a $20 million shipper, you're going to get better pricing than you can on your own. But it's an uphill battle, but don't throw in the towel, and preparation is the key to the whole deal.
Wonderful advice. Thank you. In your article for our 2021 State of Logistics issue, which came out last September, you discussed the many improvements that UPS and FedEx have made to improve efficiency and the struggles the U.S. Postal Service has faced. Do you think there's any hope that we'll see improvement for the USPS given the Postal Services Reform Act that recently passed?
Yeah, personally, and I guess I'm not that different than many residents here in the United States. I'd like to see the Postal Service survive. I'd like to see it thrive. I'm not a big fan of trying to privatize it, that it certainly should be able to exist and exist very comfortably as a federally provided service. I don't have a lot of faith in Congress, and unfortunately, Congress controls the Postal Service. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but I would be a big proponent of getting the Postal Service out from under Congress. I don't know who I would link it to, but to me, there are some fundamental issues that, number one, the money that's been allocated is a plus, but it's $57 billion. And I'm not sure how it's going to be utilized. A lot of it may be paper transaction where they're reducing the retirement pressure on the Postal Service, which is going to help because essentially they've got less debt on the books, so it's going to look better. And I've read a few detractors saying, well, this is a government bailout. Well, for heaven's sakes, the Postal Service is a federal agency. So it's basically the government helping itself. What's wrong with that? But I see some continuing issues on the horizon. That number one is the negative situation between Louis DeJoy, the Postmaster General, and Congress. DeJoy is a business guy, came out of the trucking industry, a very strong Republican, pro-Trump. So the Democratic administration is not a big fan of his. He's used to being a cost cutter and driving change, which is tough to do inside the Postal Service. So it's always supply and demand, right, for every business situation. The problem with the Postal Service is that Congress controls the rates and then whiplashes the Postal Service when they have to drop service in order to meet the financial requirements, if you will. What I'd like to see is Congress agree on what services do you want provided by the Postal Service and what times in the week, is it going to be 6-day service, so on. If you can't choose both, you can't choose the price and the service level, choose one or the other. Congress chooses the price, they hold the price down too low, and then they're unhappy because the service declines. And without getting deeper into the parcel side of the equation, to me, the benchmark here is that cost of a first-class letter in this country, we're somewhere in the, I forget, maybe 57 cents, 51 cents, whatever it is. Virtually every other major country in the world is around $1 a letter. Does anyone really think that we can move a letter from Pittsburgh to Los Angeles for 50 cents? Can't be done. So I would like to see Congress mandate the service, let the Postal Service focus on the cost, and let the cost go to where it goes. They don't need to make a profit, but at least cover cost. And unfortunately, Congress does not allow the Postal Service to do that. And the second big issue is that the Postal Service in this country and elsewhere in the world was built on moving letters. The letter piece of the business is declining like a cow's tail going downhill. Everything's moving to parcel. That's where the opportunity is. Unfortunately, we're looking at a major upgrade to equipment to redo the Postal Service to handle parcels. And I'm not sure that there's enough money or commitment on the congressional side of the equation to make that happen. The $57 million is a nice infusion, but I don't see any real quick fix because it's not going to change things in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. We're talking about years to have this happen. So as much as it's moving in the right direction, it's going to move at a glacial pace.
I guess we'll just have to wait to see how it all plays out. And sounds like it's something that'll happen further down the line, not something that'll happen within a year or so. So lastly, do you foresee any new challenges facing the parcel sector in 2022? Or should we expect the outlook to be similar to last year?
I don't see any big changes coming down the pipeline. Other than a DHL, I see as sort of a question mark in the background, that it's unknown just how big a factor they're going to be. That DHL is a giant company, much stronger worldwide than UPS or FedEx on parcel delivery, the biggest warehousing firm in the world. I believe they're the largest freight forwarder in the world. So they're a big player, but they have not been active in the US for 10 years. They pulled out of the US due to competitive pressure. All the signs are there that they're coming back into the US, and once they can accomplish that, it's going to be a number of years for them to do that. Then I see a change in the equation because it'll provide a third major entry. And certainly you could argue that the Postal Service is an entry, and they are. So let's say there are three big companies now. When DHL can be at the same level as the other three players in terms of reach and capability around the country, then I think we're in a different market. But until that happens, the two big guys, FedEx and UPS, are going to continue to price the way they want to price. There will be more use of regional players, more use of the Postal Service for companies who can make that change. But otherwise, you need to sharpen your pencil if you're a shipper. That the telling thing to me, particularly with UPS, is that under Carol Tomei, the first woman to ever lead UPS and the first non-employee to lead the company, she's had dramatic results. And her focus has been, we're going to be better, not necessarily bigger. And to do that, we're going to focus on the small businesses. So a lot of small companies were shouting hosannas that we're now going to get this focus from UPS. With that focus, nobody said the pricing will be any lower. I think the pricing will be higher because the smaller companies have less capability, don't have as much at stake. You don't have as many dollars at play, so you're less valuable to UPS. And both UPS and FedEx are going to be shedding accounts who are inefficient, difficult to deal with. So if you're a tough shipper, the situation will be even worse for you than it has been in previous years.
Well, thank you, Jack, so much for taking your time today to discuss the parcel sector with us and our listeners. We appreciate it and have a great day.
Thank you, Diane. It's an interesting category to be in, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. We in our state of logistics issue last year, I think the first time that we had that parcel section, and it's going to be interesting to keep up and see what happens moving forward. And as a consumer, you know, parcel is of interest, I know, for me, just as a person who consumes and is looking for our, you know, our stuff to be delivered and how it's delivered. And it's a really interesting sector to watch. And I do appreciate your insight. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Diane.
We've been talking with Jack Ampuja, president of consulting firm Supply Chain Optimizers. And this has been Supply Chain in the Fast Lane.
Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is a co-production of the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. This episode has been brought to you by HEAR Technologies. Accelerate your business with spatial intelligence. We encourage you to subscribe to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane wherever you get your podcasts.